views pretty much in Katan. I just want to establish them a little more clearly, and we discussed, I think, some of the implications, especially for understanding Shechita as a, you know, formal legal ma'isa as opposed to a physical ma'isa, how much das the gavra requires. Again, is it the more physical the action, and, you know, obviously pragmatic the action, the more it stands in its own right. It doesn't require a bar das in order to lend some authority or stature to it. So this becomes a very important issue, not only for Katan and for the relationship between Omid El Gabav or Acherim Roen Oso, as Adam correctly points out, but we'll see in a minute that it is equated Omid El Gabav, another Gemara. This becomes an important issue in terms of the larger question, the nature of Shechita. So just to reinforce a little bit and just have flesh out one or two of the points a little bit more. Part of the discussion, of course, most of the discussion centers around the Mishnah that we read, the first Mishnah in Chulin. But in terms of the Rishonim that we already saw, some of it also revolves around the last Gemara in Lulav HaGazel. So I just want to make a couple of comments about that very quickly. Of course, that sugya is a sugya of Chinuch. That's where the Gemara says that katan odea lishmar stvilav, where is tvilin, and katan odea lananea salulav, where it's going to take a lulav. Katan hayodea lilvo shotitzes, where is titzes. That's the Gemara here on Membeis Somen Aleph and Membeis Somen Beis. And then the Gemara says on the top of Membeis Somen Beis, hayodea lishchot ochlim mishchitasa. So hayodea lishchot ochlim mishchitasa. And then the Gemara adds, Omer Rav Huna, v'hu shegadol omid al gabav. Here's where you have actually the expression of gadol omid al gabav, which, the question is whether it's identical with the expression in our Mishnah or not, Acherim Roen Oso. So what's fascinating about this is that many of the Rishonim quoted this to prove that there can be cases of katan l'chatchila. After all, it's in the sugya of chinuch, and the other dinam of chinuch certainly are dinam of lechatchila. Hayodea lishmar gufo ochlin al gufo taharos, lishmar siyodav ochlin al yodav taharos. Again, this is, at least when it comes to general mitzvahs, katan yodea l'nanea, etc. Chayev belulav, lisatev chayev betzitzis, lishmar tefillin, aviv lokeach lo tefillin, hayodea l'daber av lom de Torah. These are all, most of them are lechatchilas. So the assumption was that if this is part of the sugya of chinuch, then katan sometimes is shochet lechatchila. And then the problem is, how does that square with our Mishnah here in Chulin that says gadol omid al gabav? And the way the Gemara understands it, it sounds like it's a b'dieved. But just to note already from the outset that the language here is a little bit different, as it is in some of the other, two of the other cases, too, of Taharas and so on. Hayodea lishchot ochlin mishchitaso. Now, the truth is one could simply say, well, there's no mitzvah of shchita for anybody, unless we're talking about shchitas kadshim. That was our previous discussion, right? By and large, you could say that, you know, there's no mitzvah of shchita at all, or if there's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah for shus or a kiyum. Or even if it's a kind of a chiyuv, as we've discussed, it's only a chiyuv once you're rotza lechol, and that's a different kind of a chiyuv, different type of chiyuv, just like the Gemara Psachim, Zayin on Beis, according to the various girsos. And therefore, we don't have the language here, katan hayodea lishkot, you know, shochet. But nonetheless, the fact is that the lashon chinuch here is hayodea lishkot ochlin mishkitasa. That could be read as a b'dieved just as easily as it could be read as a lechatchila. That's point number one. So the framework of dinei chinuch implies lechatchila, but the language of the Gemara that is different may point in the other direction. Either way, it's just important to realize that a lot of the Rishonim's conclusions here in Chulin and in Yoredeya are based on trying to square the implications of this Gemara in Sukkah with our Mishnah. And Rashi, interestingly enough, here in Sukkah says, "Hayodea lishchot la'amen yadav l'shchita, afal pi she'eino baki b'hilchos shchita." Now again, that's a free reading, one might say. As all the Gemara says is Hayodea Lishkot. And, if somebody is very, halachocentric, I'm not saying that Rashi wasn't Chas v'Shalom, but I'm saying If at the moment you're reading the Gemara, you're thinking, you might say Odeh Lishkot means, you know, he learned Yoredeya. Or you might say that it means both. He knows Yoredeya and he knows how to do the actual technical malacha. It's just hard to know what the words Yodeya Lishkot means. Rashi understood them kipshuto, that it means physically he knows how to do shchita, but then he added afapi she'eno baki milcha shchita. Didn't think that it went hand in hand, that Yodeya Lishkot means that, you know, he has the intellectual and halachic capability as well. But it's quite possible for other Rishonim to say that this refers to both, the requirement of both, or maybe even primarily to the requirement of Yodeya HaShchita. This, of course, becomes very important because, number one, if this Gemara is a source for Lechatchila, so really how much do you need in order to be Shochet Lechatchila in a situation of Godol Omed Al Gabo? Bali Tosis here do relate partly to this question. First they quote Rashi, and then they say, Kach Pirsh Rashi, Mashma, Dim Ein Yodeh La'amin Yadav L'shchita Afapi Shara'o Gadol Mitchila V'yad Sof Shlosha V'lo Daras Asur Lecho Mishchitasa. Again, this is where, you know, again, we saw some other Shitas and Chulin on this, but again, this is Tosis in Sukkah already, that Gadol Omid Al Gabav will be ineffective if he's Ein Yodeh La'amin Yadav. And according to Tosis, it doesn't require both. Again, some Rishonim say only if it's neither Yachal Lamin is Yadav, nor is he a Mumchen of a Shchita. But if he's one or the other, then B'diyeved, Gadol Omid Al Gabav will work. There are some Rishonim will hold that Gadol Omid Al Gabav will work even if he's neither. Right? And some require that Gadol Omid Al Gabav only works with both. So this, my point is that the free reading of Yodeya Lishchot, Ochle Mishchitaso, becomes very important both in determining what, if this is Gemara saying Lechatchila, in explaining Lechatchila, if it's the contrast to, this is the B'di'eved Gemara, so then anything less than what's required in this Gemara is not even effective B'di'eved. So this is where some of the Shitas come from. Now the truth is that Rashi doesn't tell us one way or another whether he thinks this Gemara is speaking about Lechatchila or B'di'eved. So if, again, a simple reading of, that's probably where Tosis gets it from. Tosis understood Rashi based on that this Gemara has to be read in light of the Mishnah in Chulin, which means that it's all B'di'eved, and Rashi's telling us that a condition for the B'di'eved even is La'amin Es Yadav, and therefore if it's not La'amin Es Yadav, so then it doesn't work, B'di'eved either. But if you interpret that this Gemara is L'chatchila, which is the way that the Ran interprets the Gemara, and the way the Rush here in Chulin, the Rush here in Siman Beis, right, also relates to this problem. Rush says, is it Siman Beis? I'm sorry, Siman Dalet. The Chinuch de Shchita, the katan de masnisin she'ein shochet lechatchila afilu kashegad lamed al gabav haina bekatan shlo yigi lechinuch v'chinuch deshchita haina sheyodeh la'amin es yadav av katan mumcha v'yodeh la'amin es yadav shochet lechatchila kashegad al omed al gabav kedi isa besukah katan edel lishmar tefilav aviv lokeach lo tefilin hedeh lishchot muta lecho mishchitasa. So you can now really appreciate better what's going on in the language of the Rosh here. Right? Why is the Rosh speaking so much? Why is he speaking about Katan Yodeh Lishmar's Tfilav? And what does that have? We know the Gemara says what it says in Sukkah about Shchita. Why bring in the rest? So the answer is because the Rosh is emphasizing that this Gemara isn't only in the framework of the Din of Shchita, of Chinuch, but this Gemara is really an example of Chinuch, and Chinuch is L'chatchila. So that's what he points out, that Katan Damas Nisin is the Ein Shochet L'chatchila must be Pachos Mikashir Chinuch, Shelo Yigia L'chinuch. The Chinuch Teshkita is Yodeya La'amin Es Yadav, that he gets from the Rashi. Avakutun Katan Mumcha V'Yodeya La'amin Shochet L'chatchila Kigadol Omer Al Gabav, based on Katan Yodeya Lishmar Tfilav Aviv Lo Keach Lo Tfilin, and only then HaYodeya Lishchot Mutar Lechot Teshkitaso, to use the framework of one to show that the other is also L'chatchila. V'lashon mutter mashma af lechatchila. He repeats it again. He's a little defensive because he realizes that the language of shechita itself is not really a lashon of lechatchila. Now the Ran in Sukkah and the Rajba in also here in Chulin and in Taurus Habayis also take this position that the Gemara, they read like Rashi that Dodea Lishkot means La'amidus Yadav, and they interpret like the Rush that we're talking about L'chadchila. The only thing is that what the Ran doesn't say there, and what's not so clear in all Rishonim, is that you have the absolute distinction of the Rush. And as the Ran there also asks the question, the Mishnah implies that Shechitas Katan is only B'di'eved, and this Gemara in Sukkah, based on the framework, implies L'chadchila. So they're mechalek, the Ran's mechalek, between Yodei La'amen Yadav and Yodei La'amen Yadav, which then means that Ein Yodei La'amen Yadav works B'di'eved, which is against Tosis. This is trying to show you where these Shitas all came from. And not just where they came from, but it's important for another reason, as we'll see in just a minute. So that's the Ran. But the Ran doesn't say that that it depends necessarily on a particular age of Chinuch, or the age of Chinuch for the Ran when it comes to this particular halacha is based on physical skill. The reason I'm emphasizing that is because, again, if you note that the Gemara in Sukkah treats Shechita a little bit differently than the other chinuchs, again, the other chinuchs, this is the way it is. Katan Shadeh Lishmar Tzvilav, you give him Tzvilav. Katan Shadeh Lunanea, you give him Lulav. But it doesn't say anywhere that Katan Hayodea Lishkot, no stim, no lishchot. So one might have said that even if this halakha is applicable, maybe it depends on some more objective shiur of chinuch. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because the Rabbi Kiveger in Yerudea, in Siman Aleph, for example, says that under the age of six, I think I mentioned last time, under the age of six, the shechita is going to be nevela, no matter what. Even if he's Yodei La'amanis Yadav, even if he seems to be a little mumcha, precocious young lad, nonetheless, it's going to be possible. And this formulation is important. We'll get to that in a second as well. But the point is that the Rush says it depends on the gil of chinuch, whereas the Ran just says yachal ame. They may be saying the same thing. They may, once you assume that the continuation of this gemara is linked to the beginning, so then maybe the same principle applies. Any kind of physical capability creates that capacity. So either way, you have the Rush and the Ran and the Rajba and that whole group of Rishonim, that's where they get the idea that there are Omid al-Gabavs that are L'chadchila, and for them, all you need is La'amin es Yadav. In the Rush, it's a little bit trickier, and this is where the Poskim all got their complicated Shitas, namely, do you need Mumcha and Yachala Amin for L'chadchila, or one is enough? Once you talk about the L'chadchila, then the same question about what do you need to the B'di'eved? Both, one, or even neither. Again, Tosfos' view is, if you don't have La'amein, B'di'eved it doesn't work even to go to L'omid al-Gabav. Other Rishonim are saying it always works in Omid al-Gabav. And yet other Rishonim are saying that even L'chadchila, all you require is one, or maybe you require two. So the Rush's language here is what caused some of the confusion. Because the Rosh implies, he starts off with Yodei La'amin es Yadav, and then in the continuation, it sounds a lot more like he's talking also about Mumcha. So that's what the Beis Yosef, if you look at the Beis Yosef and the Yosef Kelim and Yoredeya, that's how they explain the Tur and others ended up with multiplying the Shitos, whether you need two or one, etc. Okay. Now, if you take the position of Balei Tosfos, which is that any Yachal Amin Es Yadav, or Yachal Amin Es Yadav in the Gemara in Sukkah is talking about the B'di'eved still, and without that it's not even B'di'eved, so why would that be so? So the simple reading is that, and if you look at Tosfos there, Tosfos says, why would that be? So if you look at the Tosfos, you can't really tell. If you look at the Mefarshim, in Yoredeya and on the tour. So most of them say, because there's still the chashash of, you know, Shema Shah, Shema Daras, even if you're looking, maybe they made some mistake, you can't rely on it. It's Omed Lihiskalkel. So this idea of Omed Lihiskalkel, we've already discussed, it's really the concern itself, the Safek or the Rove, or the Safek and the Rove is a way of saying Vadai Nevela, because you don't have a Gabra who's Shchita, who's Maisa, you can trust, even with Acherim Roenoso. But there's another possibility that I wanted to mention. And that is that Mi She'ena Yachal La'amin Is Yadav, that turns him into a Maisa Kof Bialma. And this is an idea that we find in the Poskim Shulchan Aruch, at least two that I'm aware of. Now, of course, it is a big chiddush, because one could have said that Maisa Kof Bialma is only literally Maisa Kof, you know, Bialma. You know, somebody who, you know, some, you know, non-human who, you know, who's doing the action. But the, you know, the inability, I guess, to, you know, control your fine motor coordination or to know what's going on or to be able to trust your movements in a human being is never considered Maisa Kof Bialma. Well, we find this in two places that I'm aware of. Number one is Rabbi Kiveger, the one that I mentioned before, who says that under age six, even Omed El Gabal will not work. So I think, I think his formulation is not because of the chashash, but because of, I think he uses the language of Maisa Kof Bialma. Let me just see if I can. Okay. Yeah. The katan pokus mi ben sheishan im yeshlomer to have a kof bialma. So that's one time that we find it, and a larger discussion of this can be found in the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim, I think I wrote it down here. On the Shach, his comments on the Shach Simkat and Kafei discusses Katan Cheresh Shota Cheresh and Shota, and discusses whether or not Be'eni Yochel Amen Yadav we view them as a Maisakov. And he basically has a long discussion and four shitas. We consider none of them to be Maisa Kof. We consider all of them to be Maisa Kof. Or we're mechalik between Katan on the one hand and Cheresh Veshota on the other, for reasons that are, you know, understandable in both directions. So it's only a Katan is a Maisa Kof, because I guess, you know, we view the transition from Katnus to Godless as a very dramatic one. But if, you know, Cheresh and Shota, they can be adults, so we don't view their actions as a Maisa Kof. Or the opposite, a Katan who's going to be entering Godless, you know, so he's a pre-Godal and he's never a Maisa Kof. But Cheresh and Shota, because we can't trust their actions, that's always a Maisa Kof. So of course, if you explain it that way, that would be that would explain why, that would be a totally different explanation why even B'dieved Shchitasan would be Nevela. It's lacking in Koach Gavra that you need for Maisa Shchita, but that of course would put greater emphasis on the requirement of Koach Gavra. It doesn't just mean, you know, that you need human action. Of course, this is an issue that comes up, we already noted earlier in the year, you know, questions like what about gravity? Is that considered like Maisa Kof or Koach Gavra? The Rajba and the Ra'ah have a famous discussion of that, as we discussed in the end of Shar Aleph, comparing it to Nezikin. Nezikin is about responsibility. Maybe Shchita is about Maisa. What's the status of Koach Gavra? So there's a whole issue. We'll try to compile a list for that. But the question of Katan, Cheresh, and Shota is related to that problem as well. Okay. So that's one whole group of Rishonim. Then I mentioned that there is another Shita, and that's the Shita that the Arzarua refers to, that maybe if you have Mumcha and Yochal Amin Is Yadav, Katan, maybe he'll be able to be Shochet Bein Olavein Atzmo as well. So that would be very important. That would be especially important in terms of, again, defining Maisa Shmita. even a katan could do daraisa b'li gadol amin al gadol. In the end, the Arzarua, as we noted, and part of it is mentioned in the Hagos HaShri here, rejects it because of the problem of nemanos. And that too is important, as we discussed. That's a separate problem, or that mi she'eino neman eino mukhshar l'shchita. But that's the conclusion of the Arzarua, and the Hagos HaShri quotes it, and the Shach actually quotes favorably this idea, but also accepts the rejection based on lack of nemanos. There is, however, such a shita. And this shita is the shita of the tour, and it's one daya in the levush. The tour here in Choshen Mishpat, here in Yoredeya, Siman Aleph, actually does say this. Second. He says, "Katan mumcha v'yadela amin es yadav lishchot lo yishchot lechatchila b'no levayin atzmau v'im shachat shchitaso ksheva." And some of the poskim quoted as well. I think the Shach quotes this shita as well, and he rejects it. Because this is a very, very important shita. Obviously, all the issues that we discussed before, b'di'eved would not be ma'akev. The Levush also has the shita. The question is, what would happen to the issue of nemanos? I said the Taz, the Shach quotes it, so I think that Taz is the one who quotes it. The Taz in Yoredeya, Sivkat and Tesvav, quotes the shita and says, well, where would the nemanos come from? So he says, "B'tur kasav, the imam mumcha v'yumin biyad kasher the eved below acherin, the kashale lama yiakata neman al hashchita, ma'ishna ma'hi." And he starts quoting other raya tefilas kelim, other things that we don't believe ketanim. "V'nir l'taritz dim lo noda shenasa hechsher klal ela pidivri akatan ein maminim lo. Avakan she noda shenishchat shari shachet lefanecha." And so on. And this is how he explains it. And then he goes back later on and he explains it again, that it isn't the Nemanus doesn't novea from the Katan himself. It's noveya from the chazaka of the overall circumstances. Okay. So number one, on the point that he says that the Mishmeres Habayis says, if you look at the Mishmeres Habayis, it doesn't seem that he holds like this tour. And the Prichadosh already in Yoredeya dismisses the source from Mishmeres Habayis. But the tour clearly does say this, and it's also one daya in the Levush. Levush has two opposite dayas, so I'll get to the other one in a second. That the Levush says, "V'katan shalei gil yudgimel shana v'yamecha v'yodei la'am yadav apishu baki v'yodei b'chol shchita le'yishchet l'katchila b'no levein atzmo shastam ma'isav mekukalim v'im shachat shchitaso k'sheira kivin shuhu baki." So the question of Nemanos is fascinating, and it seems like the Taz is saying that you have to address that question. It's inconceivable to say that shchitaso would be k'sheira unless there was a nemanus. But the solution of the Taz is, there is nemanus, but it's not noveya mimenu. In other words, it's if you have the animal, shachat l'panecha, and you have a chazaka, roman tzui nitzah shchita mamchenheim, so the katan doesn't have to open his mouth, it's not based on his nemanus, and therefore there's no problem or violation. But it seems like the Taz agrees with the Shach, and with the Arzarua, that in principle, you could not say shchitaso ksheira unless he was accompanied by nemanos. But you don't need a gavra neman. You just need that there be nemanos. So this is like one important issue. The other extreme, yeah, one second. Yeah.
Would that tie in with the approach to biyad l'takein that basically it itself knocks out the chazkas iser and is not used as a way of facilitating the nemanos of the yed echad?
You mean that biyada l'takein is also kind of a chazaka? Well, biyada l'takein isn't just a chazaka. I think biyada l'takein gives the biyado person special nemanus outside of the rules of Eidecha Neman B'Yisurin. So I would say that it's not like that at all. In other words,
so if we take then maybe connect then to Rashi's approach about the role of Eidecha with Eidim Suon like women, that it's more like a as opposed to saying that it's a practical concern, right. Saying that it's really meaning, you know, it's more that you just assume a chazaka with anyone who's not kosher aid, that if they have that sort of proficiency similar to here, that they're just going to end up, you know, preparing it in a kosher way.
Again, which Rashi are you referring to?
Rashi took an approach in Eid Echad that, like, you know, the Eid Echanami, they're Eid Psulim, but, like, they just don't have any other choice.
Well, Rashi doesn't say they're Eid Echad Psulim. Rashi says, in general, Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim, generally.
Because
Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim doesn't talk about Kesherim or Psulim there.
But
he just says, in general, how come Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim, you don't require Shnayim? Because Rashi's not addressing the problem
of
Psulim or Ksherim necessarily any more than he's addressing the question of Echad or Shnayim. He doesn't really tell you. This is that in Echad. And Bisura, it's got to be that way because the world operates that way. And so whether that's why it is or that's an indication that it is, I'm not sure. But either way, he's not really addressing so much Ksherim or Psulim any more than Echad or Shnayim. But Rashi just assumes probably that if it's a din of Nemanus, whatever, that's how you know that there is Nemanus. But that Nemanus applies to Ksherim and to Psulim. It's not held to the standards of Eidos, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But Biyado, I think, is not Eidecha Nem Surim, but Biyado is a different basis for Nemanus. That's what the Bali Tosis think. Whenever this is Chazak Yisura, it works within Biyado, not just to neutralize or to overcome the Cheskas Yisur, but it's a Nemanus of Biyado. And that's what Tosis in Psachim, Dalarim and Base, and that's what Tosis says in Gittin, Basim and Base. That's a general view of Bali Tosis in many places. But what we're saying here is that there needs to be nemanus for there to be shkita kshera. There also has to be a way for it to be usable. That seems to be the point. What I was suggesting was that there are two problems here. One is the objectively, halachically, is the shkita kshera. You know, forget about whether or not we in Lui Yitzuyar, in theory, he shechted properly. Is this a nevela or is it kshera? That's one question. And the second question is, can you eat it? Now, it could be that they're all this very being very pragmatic and say, well, how can you say Kshera if we never know?
So the Kui
is... All I'm just saying is that the Taz, to explain the tour, is saying that in Ochanami, the Nemanus doesn't flow from the Katan. It flows from the circumstances surrounding in which there is no Leinus HaSafek, given that it's Shkuta Lefanenu. If it wasn't Shkuta Lefanenu and the Katan said... You know, came over to you and he, you know, gave you, you know, a piece of grilled chicken or something or meat, and he said, this is, you know, from my personal shechita, that's not shechuta lefaneinu. So then, you can't see that it was shachut properly and then just wonder about some of the other issues. According to the Tanya, that wouldn't work. In Achanami, that wouldn't work, but that's not a problem.
We could use it as an alternative, though, to explaining. Isha and Nashim, why we...
So I'm not quite sure what you mean by that. So that what?
The same
oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's what the Mordecai... Except that then you may not even need Shkuta Lefanenu, but that's the third day of the Mordecai. That's what Tosis rejected in Gittin, base on base. So said, well, why not say... And that what the Mordecai in the first 2 days is also rejecting, quoting Bali Tosis, which is, why not say, Roman Tzvi Nechel Shkuta Mumchen Hein, so you never need the Gavra. But the third day of the Mordecai is, yes, that's what we're saying. We're saying Rov Mitzvah Yitzchak Shkita Mumchen Hein, and we're saying that you don't need separate Nemanus, Agavra. And that's why everybody, again, they're explaining it to explain the problem of the Schazak Yisura, not necessarily the problem of Nashim. I only brought in the problem of Nashim to explain Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, to say that in addition to the problem of the Schazak Yisura, which is a problem that plagues all Nemanus of Shkita, if you hold, like the Rishonim will hold, that Eirech HaNem Yisurim doesn't apply to Nashim, Midaraisa, so then there might be an additional reason or a reason to differentiate Nashim and Ketanim from Gedolim. Okay. Now the Labush says this, so this is very important Shita, but the Labush also says the opposite Shita that we were looking for the other day. I just, it slipped my mind. I said it's possible that Ketanim, why would Ketanim not be effective? What I was really trying to explain is why would Ketanim not be effective l'chatchila Begadol omen al gab. Well, what should be the problem? So one possibility again is this problem of the supervision is there, but it's not foolproof when the person who's doing the shechita is omed lekilkol. He's not reliable. So that's the reason for b'di'evet, for it only being b'di'evet. Or I suggested that maybe there's another point, and that is katan not having the mitzvah. And especially to explain b'di'evet, I think that certainly is reasonable, just like not making a bracha, right, would be a shechita b'di'evet. You wouldn't do that l'chatchila. So too, a person who's not a bar, he might be able to make the bracha, especially if he's of age of chinuch, but the point is he's not a bar mitzvah. And if the special, so if you hold that the mitzvah component is part of, is ma'akev, you know, the kashrus as well, like we discussed in some of the cases, mitzvah shrichas kavana and kisei adam and some of those other issues, then certainly so. And even if not, it might be an issue of b'di'evet. But you have a more extreme formulation of this in the Levush, itself. Shach also quotes it. The Levush continues and has the opposite shita, where he says that v'yesh omrim, again, he doesn't say this about God. I was trying to explain the mainstream. God lomid al gabav, why is it only be the abbot? But the Levush uses this as an explanation why beino lebein atzmo doesn't work but the abbot, even if he's a mumcha and yachal amin yad. Now, these are two extremes. Either like the tour, that it works b'di'evet, or that it doesn't work, but not just because of chashash or other such things, or nemanus or whatever, but because of the following. V'yesh omrim shehi psula afa b'shiyodei ahilchol shchita ad shehi bar mitzvah dahenu ben yudgim l'shon av yom echad shekiven shadayin lo higia l'chova shchita min ha-Torah ein shchitaso shchita d'chsiv izavachta shepirashnu mishu mitzuvah kemo sheiz bar b'simin beis. So what is he referring to in Simon Beis? Goy. Mezavachta.
He's playing off of the Tosefta
Goy. Right?
He's playing off of the Tosefta Goy.
Yeah. So basically, that is remarkable. Right. The Levush is saying that a katan she'ena bar chiyuva is mufka from Hechsher Shechita. That's remarkable. So the Shach quotes this also. He makes reference to it. He says, Pasavataz, that's the Levush. With an ayin, and second, I have to find it here. Shach says, he quotes it. Somewhere. And he quotes it somewhere, and he says that this cannot be. One second, let's see if I wrote it down, it'll just help me find it quicker. Which one? Chavei? Chavzayin. That could be. Yeah. Av mishadeh, hilchos shechita b'nei la'amin yadav, correct. It's on the bottom of the page, that's how I missed it. He says, kenu bar zaruah bagos ha'shri, and so on. And then he says, Dilo kamosha dochak ba'ataz, betam de kivin shadain lo higia l'chova shchita min ha-Torah, ein shchita so shchita, t'chsiv z'avachta. Ad kam l'shona. And then he says, Dezeu tema, de v'simen beis, ba'akum, einu mitzuva al shchita klal. Avavadei kata mitzuva. Now this is very interesting, it's worthwhile taking just a few minutes just to do this, because it reinforces some of the other issues that we discussed previously. Shari asur lo lechol b'lo shchita, v'gam mishkachas lefamim d'shchita asa k'sheira. So the Shach basically has two questions. Number one is, what do you mean he's not in the parsha of Zavachta? Right? He too has the chiyuv of shchita k'sheira. That's question number one. And question number two is, and sometimes it works. What do you mean and sometimes it works? What is that referring to? God Lomid Al Gaba. So on the God Lomid Al Gaba question, the Levush himself, if you look at the Levush, addresses it and says, V'im God Lomid Al Gaba, and of course we anticipated this when we talked about it the other day, Yishkot Apilo L'chatchila, Kivin She'yodei La'amin Es Yada, that's a real extreme. Right? If the Katan is Bein Olo Bein Atzmo, It's not just a kilkul or a safek, or even a safek that then creates a vadai kilkul. It's so that he's mufka mivzavachta. But gon lamin al gabav is even lechatchil. Why? Kivin shadei lamin es yadav. Maybe that means it's not a maizako, or it's controllable, or supervisable. Afila mein abaki b'hilka shchita. Dal das hagadol shehu mitzuva hu shochei. So the answer to the Shach's second question, which is, you know, what about Gadol Amin Al Gabav, is the Gadol Amin Al Gabav is not a problem because the Gadol Amin Al Gabav, he's included in B'Zavachta. Okay, but that's by no means so easy either. So let's just take each one very quickly, and I'll also tell you what some of the people say about it. The first point, of course, is that he says, well, doesn't the Katan has to eat kosher too? Now, just because he has to eat kosher, does that mean that he's included in B'Zavachta? Elliot, does it? What? If you have to eat kosher, does that mean you're included in B'Zavachta, Elichai?
It could be part of the Tzivan La'afrisha, which is a separate...
Okay, so the Yad Avram on the Yoredeya says, well, maybe this whole thing depends on... But that isn't what I asked, even though you're right. In other words, you're pointing to the question, does he have to eat kosher? I said, just because he has to eat kosher, does that mean that he's included in B'Zavachta?
Oh, so you're including... You know, is the Heter Achila connected to the mitzvah?
Yeah, is it? We discussed that a lot. Meaning, that if you hold that B'Zavachta is an Isra Aseh of Nevela, right, so then what the Shach is saying certainly makes a lot of sense. Because the B'Zavachta is just a function of Nevela. But, if you say B'Zavachta is a kiyum in its own right, and it's the method of how you do, how you motzi midei nevela is important, and some of the issues that we've been discussing at length. So this is a very interesting situation, right? It's true, let's assume for the moment, the child has to eat kosher, but that doesn't mean that he's included in the mitzvah of B'Zavachta. If it's only an Isra Aseh, then fine. But if it's a kiyum Aseh, and it stands in its own right, or it's different from the... Then Rabbi Brahman Rambam and the Rabbi Sajagon and Baruch Fischer Perlo, in other words, and then our suggestion of how that works differently, as opposed to Tosis and Shavuos and the other Makoros that we and the Prima Godim's assumptions. So I think this is a great example of that whole issue. So that's number one. Number two is the question that I think Elikai was raising, which is, you said Bezim Mitzvim Lafrisho. Is it really true that the child has to eat kosher? So the Yad Avram here says, well, maybe whether the Shach or the Levush is right should depend on whether we paskin, you know, katan, ochal nevela bezin betzuvin lafrisho or not. The sugya in Yavamos, maybe it depends on that. Except that Elichai,
even if we hold bezin betzuvin, it could be archiv, not his.
Number one, it could be archiv. So that's in one direction, and it also could be in the other direction. Namely, just because we're not mitzvah lafrisho doesn't mean that that there's no concept of kosher food. It just means that we're not obligated to intervene. So I think this is a very interesting issue. The Yad Avram himself says maybe the whole thing depends on mitzvah lafrisho or not, and he says on that basis maybe one can be mechalek between katan and cherush and shoteh. He says maybe in cherush and shoteh ain't mitzvah lafrisho, but in katan maybe mitzvah lafrisho. So that would be an interesting chiluk again. But in my opinion, again, you know, it's very we could say it Alikai's way, which is it's a din in chinuch and so on, and it's a kiyuv of the father, number one, even a mitzvah nafrisho. And you could say it in the direction that I want to say, which is that even if a mitzvah nafrisho, that just means that, you know, he doesn't have a maisa vera, so you're not obligated nafrisho. But it doesn't mean that he's mufka from the parsha of Kashrus or Nevela. And maybe that's what's kovei. Or let me take it a step further. According to what we were suggesting, which is that the requirement of Shechita is all, and the din of Nevela is a din in Kedushas Yisrael. Again, the two places, right, the places where the Torah speaks about Nevela and Trefa, it speaks about it in terms of Kedusha. And as we explained, you know, the view that, you know, Agar Toshav is defined by, you know, Makabel kol mitzvos, but ochel nevelos. So I think it's possible to say that this is a special halacha even if ain mitzvah nafrisho, and even if that means, you know, there's no ma'is avera when he does it, but again, the parsha of the zavachta applies to a katan, even if some of the details don't. So I think that this is a very important, an important issue. That's number one.
Is it possible that if it's chiyuv, it's coming either for the father or for the beis din or for both, that makes it easier for Omer Gaba, because then they sort of fit into that role for him to do the shechita for him.
Interesting. But again, remember, here, I mean, this question of the shach is not based on Omer Gaba. This question of the shach is, had it not been for the namanus, even if there was no Omid al-Gabav, the Shach is saying, had it not been for the Namanus problem, even if there was no Omid al-Gabav, Katan, Shkita, should be Sheva. What you're explaining is that, well, there's an Omid al-Gabav, maybe that tips the balance.
Right, sure.
Okay, so that's number one. That is, that's question number one. What about question number two? So, I should also mention that when I mentioned the distinction between Chayrish of Shota, that's also part of the discussion. He quotes the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says that the Shach is right, and he's right not only about Katan, but he's right about even Chayrish of Shota. They too are B'nai Mitzvah L'inyan Zeh. And it's there that the Yad Avram says, how could that be? Eimetzuv and Afrisho. But then when the Yad Avram goes on to analyze it, he says, and not only that, but Maisa, Cheresh, V'Katan are Eino Klum, as opposed to Katan, where Maisav is Klum. So I think that, too, is very telling and very important for the issues we've discussed. And I just remind you again, but we mentioned on Thursday, which is that the Rav Yah quotes in the name of the Ravan, that in general, he felt that Omid al-Gabav works for Katan, but not for Cheresh V'Shota, because Ein Maseyem Klum. So I think that is an important issue, too. And now let's discuss the Omid al-Gabav very quickly. So the Omid al-Gabav issue, as I said, the Levush himself answers and says, well, it's al-das ha-gadol shehu mitzuva shehu shochet. But of course, this is part of what we touched on Thursday as well. Namely, when the gadol is Omid al-Gabav, or acher roen oso, so what role do they really have? It depends how you read that Gemara and Daf Yud Beis on Beis. And we already discussed very briefly Rav Chaim and the Rajba and others. When do you say Omid al-Gabav, when you don't? To what extent is Omid al-Gabav, you know, just a supplement to be makshir ma'isa katan? Or is it become ma'isa gadol in some cases? Or does it split things up into the ma'isa of the katan, but the das provided by the gadol? You can have all three of those models. So this becomes very suggestive here as well. Yeah?
That's why, last week, remember, quoting the doors where all the people discussed what the gadol Omid al-Gabav does.
Right.
But if I'm passing that, like Rav Nosson says that Yinachai to that we don't
need Kabbalah.
So then what shaykhus does all these things have? Like it must be what we're talking about, Gadol Megabav, Lenin being makshir, make sure that they're done correctly.
Right, so what I was trying to explain, I understand that. What I was trying to explain last week, and we quoted the Rav Nosson, I was trying to explain is that maybe, I think I gave the example of Rav Chaim, which is maybe another way to read Rav Nosson. That's what Tosis essentially asks. Tosis says, how is this a raya for Rav Nosson? Why not just say, the Gadol Omid al-Gabav is the Kavana. Not that you don't need Kavana, but the Gadol Omid al-Gabav provides the Kavana. Tosis gives the answer that he gives. And that's what the Rajba struggles with, because we find Gadol Omid al-Gabav in different places serving different functions. And I gave the example of Rav Chaim. So what I was suggesting is that the Gemara there is comparing Shkitas Chulin and Shkitas Kadshin. The whole discussion of Rav Nosson. Now, this is the Gemara saying, well, in Shkitas Kadshim, you know, Misasik, but Shkitas Kadshim is Pasal. But Shkitas Chulin is Kasher, because you don't need Kavana. So instead of saying you don't need any Kavana, maybe the point of the Gemara is, you don't need the kind of Kavana that you would need in Shkitas Kadshim. Maybe in Shkitas Kadshim you need not only Kavana, but Das. There it has to be Lashma. Right? So what the Gemara is saying is not that you don't need Kavana, and therefore the Gadol Omid al-Gabav isn't providing the Kavana, but that if you would require the kind of Lishma or Das that you require in Shkitas Kadshim, you couldn't split it up. You couldn't split the Maisa and the Kavana. So that's what we're rejecting. But in Achanami, Shkita requires, you know, some sort of Kavana too. That's the way to read the Gemara, not Kipchuto, I agree, But based on the questions that Rishonim were asking in that Sugya, like, well, what's the Gemara talking about? What happened to Gabbanon or Omenagavam? They're suggesting an alternative, which is what the Gemara means is the kind of split that we find in Omen al-Gabav can't apply if we require the level of Das, if we use the model of Shechitas Kadshim. That would be the explanation. Okay, having said that, I think all this works in very nicely with some of these discussions. So the Prima Gadim on the Shach in Sipkat Chavav quotes the Tvuas Shor. Just so you'll get a chance to look it up. Just give me one more minute, I'll finish it. He says, where do we find that Gadol Omed Al Gabav is going to work in a lack of chi of mitzvah? We only find that Gadol Omed Al Gabav can provide when there's a lack of das. For example, did anybody ever say, this is exactly the issue, did anybody ever say that a katan can make tefillin if a gadol is Omed Al Gabav and watching him? No, because the problem isn't just das. The problem is not a bar mitzvah tefillin. So Gadol Omed Al Gabav isn't going to help you. So, I mean, obviously, this is the issue. Is Gadol Omed Al Gabav going to, a vizavachta, going to provide the solution to a vizavachta problem according to the Levush? But then the Prima Gadim answers and says, well, that maybe it's different because tefillin also requires lishma. And shechita, according to the Gemara, doesn't require kavana. Right? So it's true that in one case, the asiya is lacking, and the other. But so I think what this really, really means is getting back to Rab Chaim and Achos Yibam B'chalitza again, and that is that where you require, there are certain actions where you just can't split the action and the das, because you're talking about an action where the das defines the maisa. It takes what otherwise would be a physical maisa, and it really, transforms it. In the case of Gittin Kedushin, it's more obvious, into a transcendent chalos, where you require lishma, like in something like haskaros or tefillin. It's more of a question. But I think what's really going on here is that Gadol Omed Al Gabav, and that's what the Rishonim was struggling to say, that's what Reb Chaim was trying to explain, Gadol Omed Al Gabav can never help you when you need the das to be integrated with the maisa. Because the maisa is a chalos, or because the das is ikar and the maisa is just an expression of the das, then Gadol Omed Al Gabav is not going to help you. But where you require a maisa, which is mitzura, to das, or just shouldn't be misasek, then Gadol Omed Al Gabav helps. And the real question then, between the Levush and the Shach, is to characterize Shechita. Shechita ain't Tzricha Kavana, but it is a mitzvah. Will Gadol Omed Al Gabav help you? But then, in Rachanami, at least for the Levush, you'd have to say that, as long as they're pulling the strings, it's not a Maizakov Bialma, and they're the Bare Das. It isn't like a Siyas Tefillin for two reasons. Number one, the answer the Prima Gadim just gave, as I'm trying to explain in Reb Chaim. But for the Levush, it's not like Asiyas Tefillin for another reason, and that is the Gadol Omed Al Gabav is certainly not making the Tefillin. The Katan is attempting to. But for the Levush, in a way, the Gadol Omed Al Gabav is pulling the strings in the Shechita. And therefore, his Vizavachta may be enough. At least that a way that one can understand this halacha. But either way, this would be very important for the issues that we've been discussing. There is one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is Shuvi b'mechalek within Ketanim, different levels of Ketanim. So the Rabbi Kivega already talked about Papos Mishesh, and in general whether Yochala Amein and Yochala Amein is an issue in Maisa Kof. The Or Zarua himself discusses whether or not within the year of 13, one can be mechalek, kind of like a mufla samuch. He doesn't say mufla samuch leish, but and he says, I'm not happy with this. Ein mavchinim ben ketanim leketanim. But that's an interesting discussion. In the Pesachei Tshuva in Yoredeya, Sipkat Nir Aleph, he just has the following ha'ara. He says, listen, if the problem of katan is a problem d'oraisa, like according to the Levush, or maybe even according to the Arzarua slash Shach, that it's a nemanos problem. So then to be a gadol, right, to overcome these obstacles, maybe you should require shanim v'simanim. But if the problem is only kind of a drabanan problem or a more technical problem, then maybe shanim should be enough. So he says, for example, Rabbeinu Tam, who says ein mosrim behema lekatan, because what's going to happen? Even you know, lahashlicha leklavim, people are going to learn from what's going on. He says that certainly doesn't require shanim v'simanim. I think it would be an interesting question whether or not these chashashe kilkul that may turn into a basis for a vadai psul, whether they would depend on shanim v'simanim or not. Okay, so that's something to consider. So that's just to supplement our discussion of Ketan. Okay, now let's move back to Tmura. Sorry, it took a little longer. Let's discuss the Tmura issue for a little while. By the way, there are two more comments I wanted to give just on Baal Ta'acher very quickly, because that's our next topic, on the Nedarim issue. That is a relationship between Baal Yochel and Baal Ta'acher, which is implicit in some of the discussions with Rishonim. If I didn't give it to you already, I think I didn't. Just look up the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah. It's a very famous Rambam. Sefer Mitzvah's Kuf Nun Zayin. And the Ramban, Tzadi Dalet. Pitzasei Tzadi Dalet. And the relationship between Baal Ta'acher and Baal Yochel. And as I said, look around in the Rambam also, this halacha of, you know, Tova Asher, you know, Lo Tidar, Yishat Tidar V'Tishalem, what kinds of Nedarim it applies to, as the Ramban already discusses. Okay, so let's get back to the Tmura issue. We already raised on Thursday some of the basic problems, and then there are serious problems. Right? So it comes up in our sugya, you know, Derech Agav, so we're not going to spend so much time on it, but Tosfos already raises 2 points. Number one, the relationship between Shogeg and Mezid and Tmura. And as we discussed, Tosfos makes distinctions between Hakdasha and Hakrava, and the question of the role of Malkus. Very interesting. We should talk about that for a couple of minutes. And then the second Tosfos, which deals with the problem of why there aren't two sets of Malkus instead of one, since it's Loyach Lifenu Viloyamir, or so. And but Tosfos and Tmura, the base on the base, really has two deos on that point. Tosfos says, according to the first deo, that you really are going to get two sets of Malkus, and the second deo of Tosfos says, no, Chachanami, you don't. And the reason is because of the Gemara and Tmura Daf Tesamet Aleph, which says that the two psukim, one refers to Shalom, and the other refers to Shel Chaveira. Okay. So I just wanted to speak about the general issue first, and then a little bit more specific about Tmura. Basically, this raises an important issue, and it touches on some things, again, that we have already discussed, where you have multiple, either, you know, Azharos or Chiyuvim. How do we understand that? Again, we had it already a little bit in things like, you know, you have a lav and you have an iser ase. So, how do we understand that extra emphasis? What we just discussed a minute ago, nevela and vizavachta. If you assume that they aren't totally different mechaibim with different circumstances, again, as the Rabbi Raman Rambam suggested and Rabbi Yochanan Peshel Perlo and the way we suggested it, but you assume that, you know, it's just lahosif asay alala. So how do we understand the impact of that? How does that really work? We have a similar question. You have multiple lavim that seem to be related to the same iser. What happens there? So in general, Michael, what's the? There's a general machlokus about that point. Okay, and the Ramban?
I'm not sure, but I assume he says that.
Did you get a chance to read it? Okay.
That you would count each of them.
Yeah, no, if you have multiple, what appears to be, copies of the same lab, how many times do you count them in? It's an issue that comes up in a number of issues. You count them in minyan mitzvahs, and of course, more importantly, what about malchus? A third issue, it's very relevant to us, are you? A third issue to be very relevant to us, in addition to minyan mitzvahs and malchus,
in regard to issues
of multiple lavin would be, might be, could be. In our sugya, Ariel? What? What'd say? What did you say though?
I said whether I bring out to Mechazim, but honestly.
Okay, well that's going to be an issue, but right, talking about, we'll get to that in a second, but right. Exactly, lava nita klase. When you have a lava nita klase, that's the Gemara in Temura, right? If you have a lava nita klase, so if you have kefa lavin, what impact will that have? That's going to be a third issue. That's going to be very, very, very important. But just to highlight how tricky this whole situation is, let's zero in Eitan on that for 1 second. So what's the evidence? You have the Gemara in Temura, Daladom Beis, which says,
I guess that there are two lavin in one asay with regards to.
They don't say lavanita klase. The Gemara says, why isn't Temura lavanita klase? The Gemara asks, why is Temura not lavanita klase? We know that you're loka in Temura, right? Well, the question that we're dealing with now in our Tosas here in Chulin and Tosas in Temura is how many malchus do you get? But that you get malchus is clear. The question is, you shouldn't get malchus for two reasons. Number one, it's a lav shem b'maisa. That's one Gemara. And number two, it's a lav shenita klase. So lav shem b'maisa we mentioned already Thursday. The Gemara says either it's an exception, it's one answer, right? Nishba Neymar Makalas Hashem, or because Bidiburek Avid Maisa. We still want to speak about that a little bit. Okay. There's another Gemara actually, the Gemara in Bamitziah, Daf Tzadi Aleph from an Aleph, which says the reason that you get Malchus, and it's not Alav Shem Bamaisa in Temura, is because Akimas Sfasav Have Maisa. The Gemara there is about Chasama Bakal, right? The Gemara there says, Akimas Sfasav Havamaisa. Akimas Sfasav Havamaisa is different than saying, even though it sounds the same, right? The Akimas Sfasav sounds the same. But it's different a little than saying, Bidibura Kavad Maisa. How so? Adam?
Could be that there's a case of Yashno Baha.
Right, and there's one time we're talking about the physical Dibur itself being a Maisa, right? That's an interesting question, whether, exercising one's vocal cords and so on, is that considered an action or not? Right? It's an interesting issue. That's what a kimas fasav of havamaisa seems to be. Whereas bidibura ka'avid maisa is a little bit different. And your nafkamina may be correct, like, the aha, verbalizing certain sounds, where maybe it's not a kimas fasav. Okay, it might be the nafkamina. So what does bidibura ka'avid maisa mean? The impact of your dibur. It's not the dibur, the physical dibur itself, but the impact of your dibur. So there are three explanations why Temura is loka, even though it seems like Eba Maisa. It's an exception. There is Maisa here, or it's Bidibura Kavit Maisa. That itself requires a little bit of a discussion. Again, if we're not going to be able to finish this today, we'll finish it quickly, hopefully, on Tuesday. We'll get back to that point. But I want to first zero in on the other point. But Lav Anita Klase is the other problem. There should be no Malchus, because who Tmaraso Yeh Kodesh? Then that itself is a bit of a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush that we consider who Tmaraso Yeh Kodesh. I think we mentioned that already on Thursday. Why?
It doesn't seem like that's an assay. It just seems like it's a fact that it's going to be Kodesh.
Exactly. It seems like it's a din or a fact that, despite the fact that you tried to exchange this this Keftza, this Behema, you didn't succeed. And, therefore you're left with half of what you accomplished. It isn't so, it's such an obvious fact, but either way it doesn't seem to conform to our normal understanding of Lavanita Klase, which is a tikkun of the ase, right? As you stole, but now you're going to return. You're not doing better than, you're not overcompensating, but at least you're compensating. Like the Heshiv is like Zeyla Shogaza. You took the chick. At least you're sending away the mother. You left over the kadshim, so you're going to burn it. Right. Now, you're doing some action that is supposed to partially, fully, some response to your aveir, some addition to your aveir. But here, it's there's no action. It's a fact. It's a halachic fact. The Rabbeinu Shalom did it for you, meaning either told you, you know, I'm sorry, you didn't succeed, or you partially succeeded, but, you know, I'm imposing, you know, Din Torah to counter that. That's part of, I think, the issue of understanding Tmura, which of those two really takes place, meaning it should have succeeded, but who Tmurasa Yekodesh. But either way, it's not something that you do. So it's a strange Nita Klase. If the Gemara there had said right away, Vahaya U Tmurasa Kodesh is not Nita Klase, and that's why you can be Loka, none of us would have been upset or shocked. And he would have said, yeah, right, it's not. Yeah, Elliot.
What does Nita
Klase really mean? Because it's not a lashon of tikkun, right? It's a lashon of kavod. I'm just wondering whether the actual phrase, like, how you translate it. Yeah, I mean, I think they do, people do interpret it as a kind of a tikkun. It's a point. Well, when we get to, I think it's a good point. I'll before we're finished, I'm going to make a little bit of suggestion of a different way to look at Lava Nita Klase, which I think will be along the lines of what you're suggesting. But again, we had this a little bit last year too. Again, when we talked about that sugin, those who were here, that sugin b'mitzia and daf chavav, right? When the Gemara, when all the Rishonim say, you know, why isn't it lav anita klase? You know, when the guy's you know, object falls out of his pocket, and then the guy, instead of picking it up to do hashav saveda, picks it up to do gezela. So again, we had the discussion between the Balamor and Ramban. Right, whether Nita Klase is, you know, the Mafreya or it's Mikan or Mahaba, I think that it's suggestive. The point is, this is a very strange Nita Klase. Again, we're not learning Tmura now, so we're not going to spend so much time, but at least we should raise some of the problems and issues. The Gemara calls it a Nita Klase. Surely that is important. Either way, the Gemara seems to have a rule, and depending how. So if there's a common Nita Klase, the Gemara now has a rule with a common Nita Klase, which is that to Tulavin, are not subject to a Nita Klase. If it's an uncommon Nita Klase, so does the rule, is the Chiddush just in applying it as a Nita Klase? Or is it possible that the uncommon character, the anomalous character of this Nita Klase is the only time that we apply this rule? I think that's something to raise anyway. Again, the Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Malva Velove points out that there seem to be other cases which there are two lavin, or there's not a lav hashave lase, where we don't apply this rule. We don't even need to go that far. We have a more accessible example of this, namely, video? By Rabbi Motze. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Tzarihei, right, calls by Rabbi Matze lav hanita klase, even though there are two of them. Why isn't that Gemara in Psachim a straight out stira to the Gemara in Tmura? Moreover, the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, again, finds it necessary to give a different suggestion. The Rambam says, why is there Malkus and Tmura tzanita klase? Number one, because there are two lavin. Number two, because it's Eino Shava, the Lav and the Aseh are not Shava. Why do you need both answers? Why not just say? I mean, it's Ram's not writing, you know, Inamis. You know, just say what the Gemara said, straight out. Look, it's not a Lav and Nita Klase. So is that because maybe the rule itself, the Ram isn't so sure? Maybe the Rambam thinks maybe there's a stira between Psachim and Tmura about the rule? Or is it that the Ram isn't so sure this is a classic Nita Klase? It's hard to know what's going on. Either way, the Gemara does apply this rule, and we now have many questions about both about Psachim and other cases, and about this particular Nita Klase. But the Gemara does apply the rule that when there's one Ase, we don't apply, and two Lav, and we don't apply the din of Lav Anita Klase. For the Rambam himself, one should add, the Psachim question is either more complicated or simpler. Namely, why, Ellie? I said, for the Rambam himself, I mean, the Rambam in Sukkos Tamura has a whatever, and interesting formulation. And in addition to that, there's this general problem: how do you navigate between Pesachim Tzadiheim and Aleph and Tamura Daf Dalet on the days? But for the Rambam, I said that the Bal Yirah issue is particularly interesting because you do get Malkus, but that should be okay because you have. That should be okay, exactly. Oh, okay, good. Right, now this is the question that we asked, which is, well, the Gemara says in Pesachim, Naftali Hey, that you don't get Malkus on Bal Yirah because it's Lav Anita Klase. So for the Rambam, that's less of a problem, you're saying, because he thinks that you could get Malkus. Oh, except that, and people actually ask against the Rambam, how could you get Malkus? What about Lav Anita Klase? It's an explicit Gemara in Pesachim. So if we were to say that, but the Rambam thinks that there's a machlokus between the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Temura, and the Rambam paskins the Gemara in Temura, as we see from Hilchos Temura, that might solve that problem. In fact, the Rav used to sometimes say that answer, that the Rambam was not bothered by Lav Anita Klase, because there are two lavin, there's Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. It's just exactly like Temura. Rab Chaim had a different answer, a very famous answer, as everybody knows. Rab Chaim argued that Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh is just not Nita Klase, according to the Rambam. And the short version being that the Gemara in Sadi Hei Amad Aleph, which says that Bal Yirah is Nita Klase, that Gemara is Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Ein. That hashpasas chametz ain ela bebiur, ela bebiuro, ain ela besreifa. The only way that you can accomplish the mitzvah tashbisu is through sreifa chametz. And the Rambam paskins that hashpasaso is bekol davar. It's a very famous Reb Chaim, maybe the most famous Reb Chaim of all time. I'm not saying it should be, but it probably. I mean, if you just take a poll out there, Reb Chaim literacy, this is probably the one that people know the most. So basically, the way Reb Chaim analyzes it is that the nature of Tashbisu is different. Machlokes Reb Elazar and the Rabbanon, so the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon isn't just a machlokes, like what method you use to get rid of chametz, you know, sreifa or hashpasaso, bechol davar. Rather, it's two different approaches to the nature of the chiyuv to get rid of comments. And he highlights this with the famous discussion of Rabbi Kibager, right? Why it is that chametz is the Mishnah says in Temura that chametz is mina nikbarim according to the chachamim, because you don't have to burn it. And since it's mina nikbarim, so there's no concept of nasis mitzvaso, and you cannot be nene from the chametz. So the Kibager asked, well, why not? The rule here is nasis mitzvasa. And even if the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and think that you need hashpasasa b'chol davar as opposed to sreifa, but the fact is that's because they hold that that's the definition of the mitzvah of tashbisu. If that's the mitzvah of tashbisu, then you should say nasis mitzvasa. What difference does it make what the mitzvah is? Either way, you fulfill the mitzvah. That's Rabbi Kvager's question. So Rabbi Kain's answer was no. How you perform this mitzvah dictates how you understand what the mitzvah is, which in turn dictates whether you apply the concept of nasis mitzvasa. Nasis mitzvasa only applies when there was a kiyum in the cheftza. That's the there was a kiyum to do something to the schepetz and you did it. So then it's been completely neutralized and it's nasis mitzvasa. Its status is gone. And that's true if you hold that Tashpasaso is Ayyidei Sreifa Dafka. The fact that it's Dafka Ayyidei Sreifa shows you that you have to really destroy the Chametz. The Chametz needs destruction. The Chetzach Chametz calls for destruction. And it is destroyed and as a Chetza through Sreifa. And therefore we say Nasis Mitzvasa. So Reb Chaim says, and that's also the reason that Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh is Nita Klase, because Tashbisu is a chiyuv to destroy the chafetz, and that's the klase. However, if you hold like the Rabbanon, haspasasa b'chol davar, so the point is that it really isn't a nisa chafetz at all, just that the gavra has to make sure that he doesn't have chametz in his home. But when you do that, you're mekayim a mitzvah sagavra, but the chafetz shel chametz isn't the mekayim, and it isn't transformed in the process either. There's no nasas mitzvah, so, and therefore it's man nikbarim, for which there is no heter. And for that very reason, it's not nita klase either. That's Rab Chaim's answer. That's why the Rambam says that you can be loke. It's only a problem of lav she'ein ba maisa, according to the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz. And therefore, if you're kone chametz v'pesach, or if you're osa chametz v'pesach, you're going to be loke. That's Rab Chaim's approach. But the Rav thought that the answer could be much simpler, and that is that the Rambam simply holds like the Gemara in Tzmura, and somehow the Gemara in Psachim disagrees, and we paskin like the Gemara in Tzmura, therefore there's no issue of lavanita klase because our two isur. However, to defend Reb Chaim, maybe one could suggest, and here we get back to what I think Ariel was alluding to. Maybe one could suggest to be mechalek between different situations where you have kefal halavim. And maybe this chiluk would apply across the board to the three issues that we raised. And we said there are three issues at least of kefal halavim. Right. One is minyan mitzvos, the other one is malchus, and the third one is possibly lavanita klase. So maybe one could suggest that there are three models, at least three models, of two lavin. Really two, but three cases. And let me explain very quickly, because we have to stop in a minute. One is, based on the Gemara, based on the, our Tosis here in Tumuran, Beis Amid Aleph, our Tosis here in Chulin, sorry, Beis Amid Aleph, kind of slip was that, which says, basically, that there are two psukim, but there's only one Malkus. Jakey, why? Psukim refer to different cases. Shalom and Shal Chaveiro. That's the Gemara in Tzmura Daf Tesamanah. So one could say, based on that Gemara, and this maybe what Tosis has in mind, that basically we're not even talking about Kefal Alavin. Just that the Torah uses is Kofel the Lavin in order to broaden the Halacha. So basically we're talking about, there are two psukim. Says lo yachlifenu and it says lo yamir. But basically, lo yachlifenu and lo yamir were meant only to expand the caseload, right, of that integrated single lav. It's not even there for purposes of chomer. It's not like an additional reinforcement. Right? If you do this lav, you violate twice. That's not the point. The point is to tell you to be marbe, to be megala, that Lach Lefenu V'lo Yamir applies to Shekel Shalom and Shel Chaveiro. If that's the case, should you ever count that in Minyan HaMitzvos? Probably not. Even the Ramban probably shouldn't. Would you ever get two Malkus for that? Certainly not. Now, what about the Lav Anitak? This is an interesting question. So if you ask me, I would say if that's all that's going on here, that's really not a good explanation. But that's not a good example of two lavin against naseh. Because you never have the two lavin, not only do they never overlap, but the point is they were never meant either to overlap or to reinforce. They're just meant to be megala, to widen the birth. Now, I can't take a shvud araisa and tell you that the Gemara in Daf Dalet on Beis doesn't work out so well according to the Gemara in Daf Tesam and Aleph. The Pashtus, when you read through Tmura, it doesn't seem like those Gemaras are necessarily arguing. But conceptually, if you really hold that the two psukim are as they're defined in Daf Tesam and Aleph, it seems to me that Dalet on Beis would be a serious problem. Now, I should add that, the Rambam, interestingly enough, when he quotes the halacha of Daf Tesam and Aleph, omits the pasuk. He just says that the din of tmura applies bein b'shalom, bein b'shalom chaveiro. He does not quote lo yachli fenu v'lo yamir in that context. That might be very important. I don't think that that's a coincidence. But anyways, I'm raising the question. It seems to me that there should never be, for the Ramban, a dual counting, and there should also not apply the principle of lama nitak if it's just there to be marba and megala and to widen. And indeed, that might be an explanation why it might not apply in chametz matzah as well, in bayi rabbi matzah too. It depends on how you understand the relationship to bayi rabbi matzah. If you felt that bayi rabbi matzah is basically one lav, but again, we're just megala and marchiv and marbe, yachol tamun, you know, talmud lomar lo yimatzei, and you know, right. In other words, as some of the gemaras explain it, what? Yeah, exactly. So if you explain that basically bayi rabbi matzah is one idea, and again, it's exactly like tamura testament aleph in that analysis. So then maybe dafka, the rule of two labin versus one asay, wouldn't apply at all. That's one model. But again, I can't be sure about it because the Gemaras and Tumuras don't sound like that. I'm just saying bisvara. It doesn't make sense to me. I could just be wrong. That's one example. The second example is where you have kefal alabin for the purposes of chumrah. Just like an isur asay to be the chazek the lab, although, again, earlier in the year I was arguing, and I really believe it, that we, when you have an Isra Asay to be mechazek, the lab, oftentimes it also shows that there's an Asay dimension to it, maybe even a predominant one, depending on whether the Asay is there to tell you that the lab is about the squandered opportunity, or there are really two elements, namely the Isra part and the squandered opportunity part. Okay, but I don't want to get back to that for the moment. The way many people understand Isra Asay being mechazek alav is what I mean. And here too you have a lav and you have a second lav, and they're only referring to the same cases, and it's just to be mechazek. Now I should add that these two perspectives, first and second, don't have to be mutually exclusive. As one could argue that the reason that the Torah is marchiv by using another pasuk instead of by being explicit in the single pasuk, that it applies, you know, Bain X and Bain Y, Bain Yiroa cases and Bain Yimatze cases, or Bain Shiloh and Bain Shalchaver, Torah could have found a way to write that. So maybe there are two functions in some Kefal Alabin. Right? One is certainly to be Marchiv and Marbe, but not only that, we're doing it in this method as a way of also showing that this isn't a Lav Bialma, but you also get an added benefit of an extra azhara, you know, to scare you and to, you know, to convey to you, this is really serious business. Don't play around with this. That's possible, in which case that might solve some of the questions I raised just a second ago. But either way, let's keep them as two different models anyway. The point is the second model is based on Chomer. Now, if the model is based on Chomer, so should you count it twice and give Malkus twice? I think it's an open question, and that makes, I think, good sense that there's a debate about that, whether it's the Rambam or the Ramban. And I think in theory one could have been mechalek between counting and Malkus, but I think that the question is a similar question, right? It's just a question of where to draw the line, minyan mitzvos, Malkus, what about lav anita klase? So I think here it makes actually the most sense. And the idea that lav anita klase for two lavin doesn't work, I think we were saying is, you know, it's too powerful. Can't overcome it with the single assay. Except that here we would raise a second question, and that is, you can't overcome both, or you can't overcome either. In other words, you're out there in the battlefield, you know, and you know, you're facing double the troops. So you would still be as successful as you would be, you know, if you know, whether you're facing half or double, you'd still be successful against the same amount of troops, just that you have more to overcome. That's a quantitative thing. Or, you know, there's strength in numbers, not only because there are more, but, you know, when they're double the troops, you're not going to kill half of them or neutralize half of them either. The lavan, you know, the assay against the two lavan, in other words, is successful in part, but it can knock out one, but you have one left. Or the point is, against two, it's just unsuccessful. It's not going to win, so it's not going to win at all. It's not even going to succeed against what otherwise it might have won against. So that's an interesting, I think, question. It's an important question. It also could be understood in a qualitative way, in a purely qualitative way. Namely, an aseh is ineffective against a double lav. A double lav implies a different character of the lav, not just quantitatively. And it's not just the strength in the numbers, it's the fact that there are strength in numbers here is an indication this is a very more chamor, severe lav on all levels, and therefore it's not going to affect anything. So this, of course, is the issue of the Shagas Aryeh. But the Shagas Aryeh was convinced, Simen Ayin Ches, Martz Chais, by the way, quotes it here also, not Beis on Beis, in Chulin. Shagas Aryeh was convinced that whenever you have an assay against two lavin, and you hold like the Gemara in Tmura, Dalet Amud Beis, it doesn't mean that the assay is ineffective. It just means that you knock off one Malkus. That's how he explains, you'd only get one Malkus for Bal Yirah, or suggestion on his part. Basically, that's his answer to the Pesachim Tzadi Aleph, Tzadi Hei problem. How come the Gemara there says that Lava Nitak is effective? And what about the Rambam? How come he didn't quote or wasn't concerned about Lava Nitak Lase? Right? So the answer, says the Shagas Aryeh, is all the Gemara means on Dalet on Beis and Tmura is that if you have an Ase against two Lavin, you're not going to beat two Lavin, but you are going to beat one. So when the Rambam says that you're chayiv for Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, it sounds like you're only chayiv one Malkus. How come you're only chayiv one Malkus? The answer is because it is a Nitak Lase. In other words, how come the Rambam didn't quote Lava Nitak Lase and just say Pata Legamri? The answer is he doesn't need to. He tells you that by telling you're only chayiv one Malkus. Although the Rambam never say that you're only chayiv one Malkus. I think it does sound that way, but it's not Mefurish at all. But we'll get back to that. The point is that according to Shagas Aryeh, basically, Lava Nitak Lase against two Lavin leaves you with one Lav. And that's how he explains Tmura. Right? That's what the Gemara means in Tmura. That's why you only get 40. That explains Tosas second day in Tmura and our Tosas in Chulin. That explains the Gemara in Psachim and Shitas HaRambam in Chametz HaMatzah. Right? That's why you only get one. In Ochanam, you have a lav and itak ase. Mashal Amad Avadomer, a similar issue comes up in Ase Dochalos Ase. Although I think you might be Mechalek. In Ase Dochalos Ase, again, we say Ase Dochalos Ase, Ein Ase Dochalos Ase, Biase. Right? So, Mishal Melech that discusses this in Hilchos Shofar, he says, so what does that mean? Does that mean that the lav is fully intact? Had it been only one ase and one los ase, Ruben ase, dochalos ase, you'd get nothing. It would be mutter, it would be mitzvah, whatever. But if there's ase, dochalos ase, vi ase, it doesn't work. What do you mean it doesn't work? Because there's an ase left over, still standing, after you knocked off the lav. But you still don't get malchus, and you don't violate the lav. Or, because it's against the ase, arrayed, you have mobilized ase v'lav, so it doesn't help against the lav either. And he tries to bring rayas back and forth. I think it's an interesting question. Is it a din of chomer? Or is it a din of just, divide and conquer and that kind of an issue? But I think that in theory, one could be mechalek between the concept of ase dochalos ase, the ase, and the idea of lav anita klase. Although I think there are parallel issues, but I think you could, in theory, distinguish between them. In any case, that is approach number two. According to that approach, you would never get double malchus if you had an assay. There is, I think, a third type of double lavin, and that's what Ariel referred to before. I'm going way over time because I've got to run somewhere. So let me just one more minute, and then we'll finish this up Tuesday. Namely, Ariel, what did you say before? Yeah. Maybe the two lavin just look like they're kefel, but really they refer to different mechayvim. And here I would say that there are also two models. The more obvious model is where you have really two different mechayvim, and it's also expressed in situations or circumstances where you can have one without the other. Maybe they overlap a lot, but they don't overlap completely. Get this like Rabbi Ruchem Fishel Perlo and Sefer Mitzvah Psadjagon is always interested in showing, you're never going to count anything twice unless you can find enough gemina. then it's obvious. The Aseh of Shabbos, the Lav of Shabbos. Again, this is an issue in Aseh and Lavin as well as in Tu Lavin. If you can show that they apply to different cases entirely, not just the widening of the birth, but and that they refer to different mechayvim, two different ideas that are expressed in two different cases, then it's more obvious. But what about cases where there's no nafkamina because, I'll just give you the short version, my theory, which is, that sometimes one mechayiv triggers the other, even though they really are two different mechayivim. So there you don't have any tangible nafkamina. They always go together, which is misleading, but still conceptually they're really different. What would you say then about counting them, malchus for them, and this lav nitak aseh thing? This becomes an interesting issue. So on the counting side, everybody was bothered by the Rambam counting Bayuran, Bayimatze, even though he doesn't count Tmura and other things. So the Kesa Mishnah explains, because there are two Mechaibim here. It sounds like Bayura is about, you know, being in contact and Re'iyah. You know, even though it's a, we say Afilu Tamun, but, you know, we have to say Afilu Tamun. And Bayimatze is more about Bailus, more of a legal relationship. That's the Kesef Mishnah in the beginning of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah. Problem is that the Rambam says, seems to say very clearly, both in Perek Aleph Hilchos Chametz and Perek Dalet and Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam always seems to say that whenever you violate one, you violate the other. And that bothered some Achronim. They said, well, that Kesef Mishnah has got to be wrong. But if you look at Sefer Mitzvos, it sounds like both things are true. Whenever you violate one, you violate the other, but they're really two different ideas. And I think it's because one triggers the other. But the point is, getting back to this, so in Minyan HaMitzvos, the Rambam counts by Yerah, by Yimotzeh, twice. Obviously, more than Lo Yachlifenu V'Lo Yamir, that he didn't think were two Mechayvim, by Yerah, by Yimotzeh, were, in terms of Malkus, I mentioned before that it's not Mefurash that the Rambam only counts one Malkus. I don't think it's Mefurash. But it does sound that way to me. It sounds that way. The fact is that there are, I think they say in the name of Rabbel, but he also understood that the Rambam only gives Malkus for one if there's no concrete nafkamina, even if it's two mechayvim. Not sure where I saw this, but I saw it somewhere. I think that would work better in Bayimatzeh. What about, so Minyan Mitzvah, I think it's Pashut, the Rambam counts. Malkus, I think, maybe you're only one Malkus, it's hard to know. What about Lavan Yitaklase? So here, you might say the following Svara. It's not Mukhrach, but it's very plausible. With this we conclude for the day. And that is as follows. If you're talking about Kefla Lavin as a Chomer, so even then you can discuss the Shagas Aryeh question, right? In other words, divide, you know, at least knock off half, or you're just up against too much and you lose to begin with, for one of the two reasons that we discuss. But if it's two Mechaibim, will you still say Lava Nitak doesn't apply against the two Lavin? Maybe. It is still the fact that this institution, about which the Aseh attempts to address, has two facets, two dimensions, right? Still makes it maybe more chamor and so on. But you might also say the opposite. Here you might say divide and conquer. In other words, if the two are one and it's kefel for chozek, so then you have this, you know, very difficult integrated lav, dual lav to overcome. The Aseh can't do it. Maybe can't even do half. But if you're talking about two mechayvim, so, you know, take out one and then take out the other. They don't fight together. I'm not even sure if they're on the same battlefield, or even if they are, but the point is they're different units. Again, my war vocabulary or metaphors are very, very limited. So maybe that's a good thing. I have to get a Avigdor in here. He's really an expert in this whole topic. But yeah. So if that's the case, then maybe we can understand some of the discrepancies. Okay, we'll stop here, and then I'll just finish up we try to tie it back to Tamura and comments a little bit more. But the basic idea, and then we're moving on to Nedarim. So again, tomorrow will be at 1 o'clock.